by the grace. And before that, we had Edward Griffins talking about the UN. You listen to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. And we've got on the line with us Craig Ishwood from the Citizens Electoral Council.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, great, thanks, Jack. Yourself?
Yeah, doing great.
Good.
We're just talking a lot about laws and everything else here on Radio Skid Row.
Mm-hmm. We've
got Harold Fenton here with us from Truth News Radio and also Jimmy as well. Now, last time we were talking about a lot of stuff. Now, you've got a whole bunch of stuff that's coming up at the moment. It's called the ecosystem. Now, you've given me something that's quite interesting for our listeners. Ecosystem, a genocidal fraud.
A genocidal fraud, yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean by that one?
Okay, well, let's step back a bit just so we can explain. I can explain what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of propaganda being pushed forward, and I think Harold knows about the fraud of the climate change debate, the whole global warming fraud. Well, all of this is being pushed on the science of ecosystems, of the idea that the current science shows that there is such a thing as global warming. But this is part of a bigger dynamic, and that is this whole idea of ecosystems. Now, ecosystems is a term that was cooked up in 1931 by a guy by the name of Arthur Tansley.
Right.
And it basically says that all of nature finds an equilibrium. And what we've actually showed in a DVD that we've produced, in great detail, mind you, is that this is actually a fraud. That the entire basis of, for example, the science behind the idea of shutting down the Murray-Darling food bowl, the fact that, you know, they're taking nearly 3,000 gigalitres of water out of the Murray-Darling Basin in order to preserve the environment, in fact, preserve wetlands, is based upon the fraud of ecosystems of sustainability. And this was a fraud cooked up specifically by the British Crown, going back to the likes of Arthur Tansley. Now, we don't make these statements lightly, and we actually came across, surprisingly, well, first of all, last year, and I know you've got a copy of this, we put out our new citizen newspaper that goes through, in particular, the whole issue of, in the back part of that paper, I actually talked about the Noosphere and the works of Vladimir Vernadsky, who was a guy that really talked about how ecology works, real ecology works, that the fact that the life on Earth governs the way that the entire biosphere operates, that there's higher forces, there's principles of life that govern the biosphere. Now, he was attacked by the very same British forces, people like Bertrand Russell, people like Julian Huxley,
yeah, Julian.
and shut down. Now, what happened was, back in May last year, the BBC actually put out a program called All Watched Over by Machines of Loving Grace. Okay. This is put out by an acclaimed filmmaker, Adam Curtis, and it was aired on the BBC in May and June of 2011.
Oh, Adam Curtis, he's fantastic.
Yes.
He did the one about the Century of the Self.
Yes, that's one of his series, Harold. But he goes through, and like us, picks out this guy Arthur Tansley and shows how Arthur Tansley believed that the human mind operated like a machine. Now, he also said that they worked on the hypothesis that the entire entirety of nature worked like a machine through mechanical properties. And it's just not true. And see, consequently, you've got ecologists on this DVD that's saying that when they went through the early part of their training, this idea of equilibrium in nature, this idea of the balance of nature, was a sacrosanct tenet of early ecology, but plain just was not true. And how they were blown apart, the fact that, you know, nature never returns to an equilibrium, it's always constantly changing. So what we've done here, and it really is very, very important for people to look at this, is we've blown apart the central tenets of the entire green debate. That there's such a thing as a balance of nature, that man is stuffing up the balance of nature, when there's no such thing. And this, and we go through how specifically this was a direct operation from the British Crown down through the formation of groups like the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, the World Wildlife Fund, the Nature Conservancy. All of these run out of the British Privy Council through people like Max Nicholson. We just actually lay it out for people. So that instead of just being bombarded with their opinions, or my opinion on this or my opinion on this, we actually document, show for people why it is that they're believing a crock of rubbish while they've been programmed for the last 40 years, believing that the entire environment debate has some sort of merit. So that's what we actually do in this this DVD. So, you know, when you look at this particular issue, I mean, I was just blown away. Yesterday I was reading an article called Climate Change Heretics Rebuff Carbon Dangers, which is a little bit of what we've talked about before on your show, where you have, I don't know, it must be 30 different high-ranking scientists that have come out, and basically, because there's a US election coming up, have said a candidate for the public office in any contemporary democracy may have to consider what, if anything, to do about global warming. Candidates should understand that the oft-repeated claim that nearly all scientists demand that something dramatic be done to stop global warming is not true. And he goes through, and these authors go through, reporting that, you know, this has become the witch hunt against climate scientists. Become very similar to what happened in the Soviet Union under a guy by the name of Lyshenko, who was a biologist that basically lined his own pockets. But anyone that spoke against this biologist Lyshenko was actually shut down, put into gulags, you know, killed. And this is the sort of the nature of Russian science in that area in the early 1920s and 1930s, so and 1940s. So this is the sort of attack that we know happens in our country about any from any young climate scientist that wants to actually say, "Hang on, there's no evidence for this. This is a politically motivated, politically driven operation to basically shut down." World population growth. And actually, that's another thing we go through in the DVD. The formation of the Club of Rome was actually in 1972. And this was a major propaganda campaign.
This was with Maurice Strong and
yes.
the whole thing like that. Now, Maurice Strong's in China now. People are selling cars.
Well, see, the whole 1972 Club of Rome report, which forecast at that time that the world was going to be overpopulated and that had to take... had to take drastic action, was based upon the work of a leading guy by the name of Jay Forrester in the United States, who was responsible for the setting up of the early warning radar systems in the United States through a series of big computers. Now, this guy believed that you could control all of nature if you understood it by recognizing these things called feedback loops. So he set about putting these feedback loops into his models in these computers and then set about trying to make a model of society through using feedback loops. But what was interesting is that computers became the way that that these so-called scientists tried to model and mimic and copy, replicate nature. And it was through this modeling where they put in very limited parameters that come up with these reports to say, oh, you know, by the year 2010 or the year 2050, you know, the world's going to be overpopulated. Now, this is all based upon mathematical, statistical assumptions and modelling through these new machines called computers, but the intention behind it, as I go back to before, is this idea of overpopulation and population control, which is actually at the forefront of what the British Empire has been trying to do all along.
Yeah, the old Prince Philip.
Particularly him, yeah.
Yeah, Murray Darling, you want to say something?
Can I just make a thought experiment to illustrate the concept of what Craig was talking about how there is no such thing as a natural balance that is, I guess, absolute, and that there is only dynamic equilibrium, and that basically any state that we find nature in is as good as any other. And just, I want to give this experiment. Imagine that you decide you're not going to take the garbage out at home anymore. And you're just going to basically let it all pile up. And then you maybe you decide, look, I'm not even going to use the toilet anymore. I'm just going to, you know, just do whatever I, you know, I'm not just not going to do what I normally do in my home, okay? Now, what will happen is that the quality of your environment in your home will deteriorate from the point of view of an average person, average human being. You walk in, it's going to stink. It's going to be full of garbage. It's going to be unpleasant, right? Now, from the point of view of an ecology kind of viewpoint, well, actually, you've created a new ecology in your home. What you've done is, you know, all of that garbage and stuff you've strewn around, there'll be little bugs crawling around in there and having a good time, cockroaches, and from your point of view, it'll, you know, awful. Maybe you like it, but most people would think, oh, it's horrible. Okay, you've ruined the environment. You know, you've destroyed the environment of the home. Well, the home doesn't have any natural environment. We choose to keep the home clean. We choose to use toilets to make our, you know, waste go away from us. And we like to have clean smells because we choose it because we want it, not because one is right and the other is wrong. There is no right or wrong in it. It's what we want. So just bringing that back to the environment that we actually live in, of course, if you pollute the rivers and you put industrial waste, you're going to create an unpleasant situation. That doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It means, do you want it? Do you want to have that? If you don't want to have it, don't do it. But I think the problem with the ecology and environmental argument is they say there is one right way, and then this is wrong, and then they say, we are giving you the right way. But then they introduce their own theses into it, like they say carbon dioxide is wrong, which, of course, illustrates the flaw in their whole thinking. I don't know, what do you think about that?
Well, I was going to give Craig a little history lesson. That's how old I am, if it's all right.
Yeah.
Craig, I took zoology in 1963.
Right.
Oh, my God, he's old. And they were just starting to push those words. Ecosystem, you know, the ecology.
Buzzwords like that.
Yeah, buzzwords. And you had to... Oh, everybody was so amazed by these words. And they took it to be God's word.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is because there is an intention top down, starting in the late 50s, by the British Crown, of using environmentalism, ecology, all this entire idea to push population control and the destruction of the sovereignty of nation states, which we go through in this DVD. See, I like Harewood's idea of that little thought object, because see, if you expand that, Harewood, and you look at what took place, for example, in the idea of developing the biosphere or developing nature, just have a look around the Griffith-Leeton area where, you know, people go to the shops and they've been buying rock melons lately. Well, that's where all our rock melons are coming from, because 100 years ago, that was barren desert. And there was a decision to say, well, let's create something out of this desert. Let's create a food bowl. So, therefore, you had the construction of the Murray-Darling Basin irrigation scheme, which turned that environment from a desert into a food bowl. Now, this was done purely by water, and the construction by man of dams, of channels, canals, and so forth. Now, there's arguments, you know, the technology created salinity and all this sort of stuff, but look, whenever you begin to alter or change the environment, yeah, you come up with problems. So what you do is you develop the higher technologies necessary to solve certain problems that come along. Like, for example, you use drip irrigation, you use, instead of flood irrigation, you use plastic mulching in order to preserve water. You do all sorts of things. And over the last 20, 30, 40 years, you've seen breakthroughs in technology to overcome some of the what could have been considered poorer practices at the level of technology you had 40 or 50 years ago in order to solve the problems. But see, the intention here is, and was, you know, back in the 100 years ago when the Murray-Darling Basin was being used and developed as an irrigation area, was to create food for people. That's what you did. This was before this massive population reduction campaign of the British Empire, which did start in the late 50s and 60s, but it was a continuation of what was known as the eugenics movement of Britain going back into the late 19th century. And you'll find that Arthur Tansley was a proponent of eugenics. This was that there was a master race and that, you know, everyone else was basically inferior. And it also gloved into the ideology of the British Empire to say the only real race that could that was fit to govern the world was the white, well, were white races. Forget about the yellow, brown, black and red races. Who cares about them? And actually, you'll see quotes in this DVD about, you know, people are like the name, people are actually saying that. And this was actually a policy issue. So the point is that we have a choice to change things. We actually have a capability of transforming our environment for the better. Yeah. And quite often, the large polluters are not the mum and dads, the small people out there. It's the large multinational corporations that are run specifically top-down by the British Empire or are involved in it. And you can look at large corporations right throughout history, like the Australian Agricultural Company. These people don't care about how they destroy the local environments because they're not concerned about the people that live in those particular areas or countries.
Well, listen, we'll go into a song there. Craig Isherwood with the Citizens Electoral Council. Ecosystems is the noise of Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio. Sid Rove here with Harold Fenton from Truth News Radio, Jim, myself, Jack Frost, and we've got from the Citizens Electoral Council, Craig Isherwood. Thanks for coming on Radio Skid Row. Again, it is 8:10. Now, Harold, what was that question that you were going to ask, Craig? How do you get
Craig?
Yeah.
My question is this, and I've been talking about this earlier on the show. We need to figure out how we can get people off the fence. Now, by that, I simply mean that so many people in our country have an attitude where they just say, look, I don't know about climate change. You know, there's two points of view. I haven't made up my mind, therefore I'm not going to have an opinion. But, of course, one side of the opinion is overbalancing the other. Sorry, I don't have my headphones plugged in right now. I'm just going to plug them in.
Yep. There you go. Craig?
Yeah.
What do you think about
Arrow? Okay. Well, there's two things here. First of all, you know, you're talking about a population that's been blasted by the media and along propaganda lines that it's been so intense that most people give up and say, well, how can I change anything? That's why we put this DVD out, because what it does is it challenges and shows people how they've been lied to. Now, not everyone in the community is going to respond to it, but you're going to get some intelligent people that say, damn it, I've been lied to. What can I do? And then they have to be channeled to be able to do something in order to be able to fight. And that's why we started a political party, you know, 22 years ago, which doesn't just, you know, park people or say join us as a political party and sit on the sidelines and we'll do everything for you. In fact, we say, no, get involved, become part of a campaign, a continuous campaign to fight for the sovereignty of our nation. So, you know, for example, on this particular DVD, we also put out a release that points to why this is so important. So we want to get 1 million fires, small A4 fires out, 1 million of those things right around the country, so we can actually intersect and find people that want to actually find out what the truth is about the fraud of this environmentalist green movement, and so they can get fired up and fight. And you only have to have a relatively small handful of the population up in arms, and you have a revolution, a peaceful one. Because it was only 1 to 2% of the American population that actually fought for the American Revolution. But if we had 1 to 2% of our population up in arms, which is what we're trying to create, then you'll have real political change. People seem to think that you have to have, you know, masses, you know, 50, 60% of the population up in arms. Well, right now, with the carbon tax coming down in July, with the increase in the cost of living based upon the transfer of wealth out of the hands of governments and particularly utilities owned by government into private enterprise, so that you're seeing electricity... Sorry?
Corporate fascism.
Yeah, exactly. Corporate fascism and privatisation, ripping the money out of people through, you know, quasi taxes like the increase in the price of electricity.
Yeah, and that's happening a lot. The amount of electricity vouchers are going through the poor at the moment has just gone through the roof because of the electricity prices that have steeped up, and they say, well, we're doing a $48 billion upgrade on the electricity grid.
Yeah.
And they tell you stories like that. But what's interesting is Gina Reinhart, the mining magnate woman, is going to buy 10% of Fairfax Media. Now, she'll have a political say in this, right?
Yeah.
Now, she's she puts out people like Andrew Bolt for against climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think about... I mean, if Abbott gets in, obviously they're going to go for... they're going to run, and the media through Fairfax is going to run for Abbott. If Gina Reinhart buys 10%, she'll be lobbying for that. She'll be paying people to do the lobbying work. Abbott's not going to change. It doesn't matter who's in government, does it? They're still going to have the tax. It's still under Crown.
Well, that's the point, is that you're going to the same direction of government policy because both of them have committed to the same fundamental ideas. I mean, the coalition did support the idea of carbon trading under John Howard. It just wasn't politically expedient at that point. Now, and, of course, you know, the Gillard government has been pushing this because top-down, that's what has to be pushed as part of the British Crown. That's what we've been saying.
She's done that, and the Queen and Philip came over for a nice little visit to give her a nice ritual shake hand and say thank you very much.
Well,
now, Abbott was going to say, and if Abbott does get in, and probably does because Gillard looked like they're just shooting potholes at her, Abbott's going to go in. He's still going to... He's not going to promise for this. He's going to change tax.
No.
If he doesn't, they'll get rid of him and they'll put Malcolm Turnbull in. Would that be correct?
You're That's right. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull's been pushing and lobbying for a carbon trading scheme since day one.
Yeah.
And consequently, you know, Tony Abbott's basically a seat warmer for the powers behind the Liberal Party.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter... you know, people are going to vote for the Labor or Liberal Party, we get the same policies, haven't we? For, you know, that's what's happened for the last, you know, 50 years. You get the same policies.
Yeah.
And this is where... You know, the politics in Australia is controlled. We, you know, under the two-party compulsory preferential voting system, you control the political system. If you had optional preferential voting, the system will completely change because you don't have to vote for people you don't want. Now, that's a big controversy when you start to say that because, you know, the people in within the power that hold the power in the system don't want people to have as much choice as possible. If you went to the polling booth and said, I know you'd like that fella, I'll vote for him, and then said, I don't like the rest, you've got no option. You've got to give your preferences in the base on who you don't want, not who you do want.
Yeah, and a lot of people do that. I've had people on with the federal election for different smaller groups, like, you know, the Socialist Alliance and stuff like that. They have to give preferences to the Greens and stuff like that, no matter what. One of them gave preference of all in one all quarters.
Yeah, when it gets to the Senate, it's an absolute nightmare. It's almost impossible to direct your preferences. It's just like a lottery. And from a registered political party that's been involved in this a lot, it's almost impossible. At the end of the day, you have to make a choice. Do you want the Labor, Liberal or Greens to get your preferences? And you have to make and construct your ballot paper or how to give people a sense of how to vote from that point of view. It's never got to do with, you know, if you want that particular person because they stand for good policies to get in. At the end of the day, under the compulsory voting system, the compulsory preferential voting system, you find that you get the people that you don't want, even if you try and vote opposite to that.
Get rid of the Crown.
Yeah.
Get rid of them.
Or get rid of the system. Start attacking the system.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we'll just go in there. Craig Ishwood from Citizen Electoral Council. You can go to cecaust.com.au. Now, you can ring us up on 9550-9552. He's got a new DVD out. They've got a new DVD, Ecosystems, the Genocidal Fraud. These are interesting DVDs, people. This is better than your usual crap on TV. You could put it on, and then you could sit there and watch it. And
yep.
Get educated.
1-800-636-432. It's a quick way of getting it to people. Two.
What's the number again?
1-800-636-432. Give us a call on that. Talk to our admin staff, and they'll shoot one out to you.
All right. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
Yeah, thanks, Sherrod.
Good on you. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, then. Bye-bye.
Back radio.